Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Get motivated, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. Your hosts for the show and Parent Coach Super Guides are Gretchen Downey and Jacqueline T.D. Quinn.
Hi, this is Gretchen.
Hi, this is Jackie.
And today we're going to be talking about if my kid gives up too early, should I be worried? And these are all valid concerns, of course, but most parents, I think what's behind it is my kid persevering? Is my kid, maybe they want their kid to win?
Are they worried about their kid being a quitter?
Yep. Are they worried about him being a quitter, or are they worried about him being unmotivated?
Yep.
So these are usually some of the things that are right behind this statement of my kids quitting, or why are they quitting? Why do they stop so quickly? And so let's go into this a little bit deeper and take a little deeper look at all of these things.
I agree.
First of all, I think we need to let parents know out there is you really need to get to know your kid. You need to listen to them, observe what their patterns are, what their interests are, because if they're quitting something that they absolutely do not like, if we're forcing something on them that they were never meant to do, then there's a reason they're stopping. But if it's more a pattern, after you've observed it, and it's more a pattern of my kid has a habit of quitting things that they start, now we're looking into territory that you want to address.
Right.
Right. So there's a big difference.
Let's address the first part in the sense that is it something that they're interested in? Maybe they're more artistic and they're not into sports. Also, I think children nowadays don't get enough sleep, so they could be too many activities for them, and it's an overwhelm. Another thing with my kids is they're sensitive, and other kids are sensitive, so it might not be the right teacher or the right coach or who is the leader in what they're doing. It's not necessarily that activity. It's just that class, and you need to move them into another coach or something.
Right. And so I think with this whole thing, we still have to go deeper. We have to take a deeper dive into all of this to really understand that, because what we really have to do is get a better understanding of our kid,
right,
our child. And if we look at kind of life in general, why are we here? Why are our kids here? They came to do something very specific. We call this purpose, right? We all came here for a purpose and a reason. And our kids are no different. But we need to look at what that is. So in some instances, it's what are their gifts? What are they good at? Like you mentioned, art, or some kids might be interested in sports and things where they need more competition.
Yes.
Or some kids really thrive on that, where others might thrive on cooperation and other kinds of things. So you got to know that about your child. Then the next step is, and this is really key for parents, understand where the development opportunities are. So just because your child, for example, may be extremely shy, that's okay. Nobody's judging that quality. However, if the shyness gets them in trouble where they can't function well in a classroom or in the world, or it holds them back, then that part of their reason for being here is to develop that ability within themselves to overcome that. So when we look at our kids and it comes to putting them in an activity or doing anything, we have to look at the reasons why they're quitting, okay? Is it because, if you take the example of a kid that has a habit of quitting, when they're afraid of something, they give up on themselves, which is the worst thing of all. You don't want to build that pattern of a child giving up on themselves, or actually falling into that victimization. I'm this or I'm that. I'm not good at this or that. Therefore, I'm going to quit.
Right.
Well, you have to have a dialogue with your child about that. First of all, let's take a look at this. If a kid is not good at a sport, let's take that as a great example, but they love the sport and they love doing it, but maybe other kids make fun of them or they don't pick them on the team, and then they feel like quitting. So you have to have that dialogue with the child about what do you love doing independent of anybody else. Maybe they're supposed to love the sport. Maybe they're not supposed to play it. Maybe when they grow up, they're going to be a coach, like the most amazing coach or, you know, something, or like, trainer of some sort,
right,
in that arena. And they're meant to learn it. I'm getting goosebumps, Jackie. So my goosebumps
like
never
lie. That gymnastic coach, Bella Carosi, he was never a gymnast, but he's trained all the great Olympic gymnasts.
So what if someone said to him, no, you can't do this, and made him feel demoralized about it, and he victimized himself into the same mindset? Then we put our children at a disadvantage. And that's what parents, I think, and listeners need to know. That is the time when we pull them down, their human development, their human evolution, because that's what this is all about. Every single life experience that we get, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's a relationship with a friend, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, they are all opportunities for either us to expand or the person that we're engaging with to expand. And that means everybody expands, right? Our expansion. Right. And so it's an opportunity to be a better communicator, be a better something.
Be a better listener.
Listener, better athlete. It doesn't matter what, be less of a quitter.
Yes.
or it's, you know, and then the other thing is know when to walk away. And we'll talk about that more towards the end of the show. But so you really have to understand what life is about and why your kid is here and really take an intensive, thorough internal look at that. This can't be superficial and just looking at the outcomes, like the kids are picking on them or the teacher's doing this and that. You got to go inside the kid. What does the kid want? What are their interests? What do they need? What do they need for their development? What makes them feel like they have successes and that they're going to thrive? And so that they get some good feedback once in a while.
Right.
So it's not all being torn down and grind, grind, grind. They've got to have some successes in there too. And so we have to find clever ways to get that for them if they're not getting it.
Right. And I think it's important for parents to look at what is the purpose, like you said, their child. And a lot of parents sometimes have aspiration and dreams that they weren't able to succeed in life. So they want their children. I mean, I'm talking about like the stage mom and things like that, where they think, well, this is what my child wants. This is about that communication and really taking yourself out of it and knowing that your child has their own purpose and their own aspiration, and you're there to guide them, to figure out, to help them figure out what is important for them.
Right, absolutely. And that's that thing where parents need to really listen and truly observe and take themselves out of it.
Yeah, I think as parents, too many people think, well, we're older, so we must know more. No, that's not always true.
Our kids, I've said this over and over in our stuff, but it's like our kids are more advanced than us. They're coming in higher vibrational human beings than we are. It doesn't mean they don't need to be guided and navigated through this world, because that's where we have the experience.
Right.
But these children, these kids are amazing, and we really need to listen to them. There's a reason that they feel a certain way about something, and you cannot move through this kind of material that we're talking about today unless you teach your kids how to use their emotional guidance system, because it'll tell them when they're on target or when they're off target. And the worst they feel about something, they're thinking on it, is off target.
Right.
So if they make a statement like, I'm too shy, and they feel terrible about it. Well, first of all, that statement's a lie then, according to how their higher self sees it. They need to reframe how they perceive themselves.
Right.
And we know that this stuff gets embedded into subconscious mind and everything. So then they...
Especially if they're younger than 10, that's the imprinting age.
Yeah, it imprints very quickly. So their patterns become kind of automatic very quickly. And so we don't want them to do that in any pattern that is not beneficial.
Right.
But I will say this, Jackie and listeners out there, our kids are very intuitive. And so they know when something isn't right. I sort of forced my kids to learn some music. And one of them, I wish I would have made him do a little bit more, but I got him to learn some basics so that they could appreciate it. And, you know, it was the piano and whatnot. But they weren't meant to play it, and they weren't meant to keep going on it. And I had to listen to that. The love was not there.
Yeah.
You know, they were intrigued by the initial learning. And so that's exposure. And so there's a time to walk away from it.
Yeah.
And so one of my kids was extremely good at a certain sport, which I happen to love. And I mean, they're amazing. They could have broken records and all this stuff, but they didn't like it. It wasn't their deal. And it actually made them like, they said, it makes me too nervous. I just get eaten up inside. I can't handle this pressure. And it wasn't that this kid couldn't handle pressure. It's just like, it was just this particular sport. And I had to let that go, even though this kid could have blown records away and all this stuff. It's just like, that's not his deal. And so we have to like not put our own stuff on it. And I learned at a very early age with my kids is just like to do that. And when we can just see everything so much more clearly. And those kids, when we can see it clearly, they start seeing it more clearly too, right, on, you know, their path and their interests and whatnot. And then they'll start navigating towards those things they want to do.
Yeah. I like how you said our job is to really expose them. It's kind of like going up to a buffet bar and you don't know any of the food. You're in some country, so you're just trying everything. And some of the food you're not going to like the first time, and some you're really going to like. And so I think with children, we're just exposing them to music, to art, to sports, and they're not going to like everything.
Yeah.
The key, though, is to not put pressure for them to like something because you want them to do it. I know already that if there's too much pressure for them to succeed in that, they tend to push away from it. I think it's okay for them to pressure themselves, but when we start putting too much on there, it starts not being fun anymore.
Well, it doesn't belong to us. It's not our thing to do. And that's where we get our mixed messages and our signals crossed, is we think their initiatives are our own, and they are not. They do not belong to us. They belong only to that human soul. And so we have to allow them that autonomy.
Yeah.
And that growth and that development, whether it's an area we're uncomfortable in or not, that's where the separation occurs. We're very connected, and we'll always be connected. But the one thing that the human race is separate in is our own individual path that we must do for our own development.
Absolutely.
And we as parents are there just to support them, to build them up and build their infrastructure up, or to hold what they've already got in
right.
place and to just kind of keep going with it. Now, I want to say a little bit about this whole thing with competition and cooperation, because I think the concern with many parents that I have found with is the motivation for kids. Okay, so if they're concerned that if my kid has a pattern of quitting, does that mean my kid has low motivation,
right?
And so when you look at what motivates your child or teen, doesn't matter what age, is what do they thrive on? Do they thrive on competition? If they are, then they've got to have some of it. Okay. Some of them like outside competition, and some of them just like competition with themselves.
Yeah. Self-improvement. Tennis.
Or self-improvement. Some are multiple sports with lots of kids, singles, and then it's just themselves.
Right.
And so you just need to know that. You need to know where their hot spot is, and it's great information for you, because when your kid is feeling down about themselves, because that will happen, it's going to happen to all of us, then you know where their easy motivation spot is, and then you can insert something in there that gives them a quick feed that helps lift them back up.
So I think the theme here, what I'm hearing, is that really listen and communicate with your children, because the more you get to know with them, the more you're able to guide them, see where they need some more strength, encourage the areas where they do have strength already.
Yeah. I always call it, instead of seeing the outside, I call it look into the inside of your child. Look at them from a totally different lens, just what we see on the exterior. I see a good athlete. I see a good person at this. I see someone who's not good at this. It can be either direction.
Yeah.
We look so much at this external, but if we'd go right inside of them and really laser in on that, then we can feed what needs to be fed, nourished what needs to be nourished. And so that the child has identified that and they're operating in that, then they're motivated. I have so many kids, older kids, that teens and even kids just out of college that become so unmotivated because they get demoralized by life. Things aren't turning out the way they thought. They haven't had successes that they thought they would have. And so now the motivation just way shuts down. They even forget what they even love to do or what they were even interested in, because they probably studied something that they didn't even like. And so we just shut off everything, their creativity, their inspiration. And then, of course, they want to be a quitter. I mean, life sucks. When we do this to ourselves, life actually sucks. And so we want to quit. We want to give up on life. We want to give up on ourselves. Our human nature isn't to stay in that spot. It's always to kind of move ourselves out of it. But we need to really find out what are those things that are going to do that for us.
And with children, because I think they're so intuitive and so in tune with themselves, they know what they like and what they don't like. And they're willing to always try it out and please us. But at one point, that's when I think parents need to listen. Are they trying to please us, which kids do end up tending to do? Or are they doing this for their higher self? for their purpose.
Yeah, so it's looking at these different factors for kids. We call it the interest factor. Whatever they're doing, what's the interest factor? What is the love factor for what they're doing? You can even look at external factors in the scenario. Parents or teachers or coaches, are these people being supportive or are they not? You know, how many times have I heard this statement? I coach parents all the time on this. My child doesn't have the right coach, or the teacher isn't doing whatever, or the teacher's making them feel miserable. And I tell this to every single parent, and I did this with my kids, and it made them insanely strong to navigate people and life. And I told them from the get-go, you aren't meant to walk into different things and have every single person, teacher, whatever, be the same, be the perfect, nice, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Think of your favorite teacher. Not everybody's going to be that way, because guess what? You're not going to learn how to navigate through it. So you've got this teacher that treats you this way so that what? So why? What do you think you can do to overcome it? And so I always teach kids that in the same way with coaches. This is coach. They don't determine your fate. They don't determine what you're going to do. What's the lesson in here for you? You aren't strong mentally, or you give up on yourself, or you get demoralized when someone makes a bad statement towards you, like in the coaching or something, you know, where they just, you're worthless, get out of this game and don't ever come back. But I've had that happen to my kids, and they get demoralized from what? Are you going to take that as fact? Are you going to let someone determine that? No, you know, and then they think they can't overcome this. And I'm like, of course you can. This is, they don't own you. They don't stop your progress. Nothing will stop your progress in this universe. You're meant to do what you're meant to do. But that person was put in your path so that you would get stronger, so that you would think a different way. And so when my kids started doing that, then things shifted. Even the way the teachers treated them shifted. The coaches treated them shifted everything. Nobody's a victim here. And we often think we're a victim of things. And I really train the people that I work with not to feel victimized in any way, shape, or form, to really empower them. And when they learn they've got their own power, then they're motivated, right? And then they're less likely to quit and give up. You know, I can think all the times, if I wouldn't have shared this information with my kids, they would have quit many, many things. But instead, they moved through it because they actually loved the activity that they were in spite of the coach or the teacher or whatever. And they can't let someone like that stop what they love. So love factor is a huge thing in this.
Yeah. You
know, never let something interfere with that. So, but then that comes to the other ideal about this is know when to walk away. Know when enough is enough. And we don't, some people quit too early. And some people don't know when to stop. I'm one of those people that doesn't know when to stop. I drive, 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 drive. People say, you always finish everything. I really subscribe to that philosophy. But there are some times when the end has already hit and you just didn't realize it.
Right. Yeah. The lesson isn't about finishing. It was just...
It was that exposure experience. Or something, or having partial part of that experience. Because if there's nothing coming back to you, if you realize you're giving, 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 or you're doing too much and you're carrying whatever, and there's no love coming back and there's no... or something meeting you part way, then it's like, okay, I've exhausted this. Now it's time to me to put my energy somewhere else where it is going to be more fruitful for me. A giving and receiving, right?
Right. So how do you help your children know when to quit then?
I have them ask themselves a lot of questions. First is, what do you love doing? What are you interested in? If they don't know that, then that's the first thing they need to figure out.
Right, yeah.
And then I can help them, lead them to that. If they want to quit something, it's like, why? Well, and I've got a lot more interest, or I want to do this now, or it's time for me to do
that's
that.
That's the conversation we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. My son, my youngest, he was such an avid skateboarder for like 4 years. I mean, we traveled everywhere. He just was in love and on fire with it. It was like, you know, he's bombarding us nonstop. Can we go here? Can we travel down here to this place? I mean, I was just doing everything. And he hit ninth grade. And he even had a business. He's developing a business. He was looking into trademarks and patents for this idea he had. I mean, he's on fire. And then cold turkey, it stopped 100% because he got a new interest. And he went into another sport and a couple other things. And he's just, and I kept saying, Alec, don't you want to go and do these, any of these things? And he's just like, I'm done, Mom. No, I'm done. And he knew it. I could have persevered. Like, you're not finishing this.
Yeah.
You didn't keep doing this. I thought you're going pro. And all, you know, I could have held my ideals and aspirations,
exactly,
what I grew up on, which is competition and go and try to get the best, whatever. Yeah. That wasn't what he wanted.
He
was time for him to experience something else. And it just, and so I had to realize that that was the stopping point.
And that's what I think what Todd said about earlier is, don't put your dream and aspiration, because if it was yours, you would have continued. That was the end of his.
And skateboarding is not my deal. I have no clue about it. But he had some really great ideas that I thought would be awesome to take to fruition. So maybe he'll do that later on.
Or incorporate it to
something
else.
Or maybe he'll give his patented idea to his kids or something when he has them down the road.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? I don't sit there and guess what life or the creator has in store for each person. That's not my role. His purpose is not mine, and mine is not his, and I don't get to determine that. So as long as he feels good, right, and happy about it, when he was still inspired and knew he's on the right track, okay, he's dialed in, and that's good. I let them listen to their intuition, because if I stopped him from listening to his intuition, I'd have him so messed up.
Right.
But he knows to listen to his intuition. He goes, Mom, I just have a feeling. And I teach him to listen to that when he knows it's spot on, or when something isn't right, I tell him to trust that.
Yes. And that's going to help him later on in business, in life, in a relationship, to make those kinds of decisions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes. I think what we need to do is give parents some, kind of hone this in, give them some very specific tips for when your kids are having these moments and you're trying to distill and distinguish, are they quitting and this is serving them, or is it not serving them, right?
Yes.
And so we need to give you a few tips that we think are pretty important. And one is, look at the success that they have and the efforts. Is success motivating them? Is the effort that they're expending motivating them? Does it feed their interests? That was the whole thing on listening to your child.
Asking questions.
Asking questions. Look to the inside. We just said, know when to walk away. So that's another huge tip. Make sure you know when to walk away. And make sure they're not walking away too frequently, that they're just not finishing a lot of things that they start, because this builds up a really bad pattern within the subconscious mind that says, I don't finish anything. And then they'll be feeling scattered, unmotivated, misdirected, undirected. And this isn't how you want their brain to develop.
You don't want that syndrome of following after every shiny penny and then not finishing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it builds up. Just like a hoarder has a lot of clutter in their mind and in their physical environment, it builds up. You notice sometimes they have a really hard time thinking clearly and making decisions and all these things. So kind of with this pattern of not finishing things, you'll be scattered.
Yes.
All right. So you'll notice your kid more scattered. Doesn't know where to start. Doesn't know where to finish. Doesn't know. And you don't want that. You want your children to be very decisive, be very focused when the time comes,
right,
when they need it. And to finish that out to the end so that they can feel the successes. They do need to feel successes. And so that's another tip, is ensure that that's happening. Not a phony way, not something you've introduced to them or a reward you gave to them, but it's something that they did themselves, that they actually accomplished or finished. And so that they feel how good that feels. And the last thing you can remind your child is that small steps make big outcomes or bigger outcomes. And so just take it one step at a time when they're trying to do something, because so that they don't get overwhelmed by whatever it is they're trying to do, where they just see that they might fail altogether. Just give them small steps and small, let them feel the small successes. So when you do all these tips, hopefully this will make your life smoother. It'll help keep your child motivated, less inclined to quit, and more inclined to persevere.
And be able to listen to their intuition.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're out of time today. Thank you for tuning in to Parent Pump Radio, and we'll see you here next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Parent Pump Radio. You can go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows, which are featured on missionsradio.org. That's missions with an S, radio.org. And once you're there, subscribe to our news feed to be notified of new releases. And for those of you that don't know, the RSS feed button is right next to the follow and share buttons on the top of this page that you're on, the one that features our shows. And that's the button you want to click to be notified of any new episodes. Also, you can visit us at our website, www.parentpumpradio, to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions, and to connect with us on social media. When you sign up on our website, we have a free gift for you, so don't miss out. So until next time, have a wonderful week.